Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, Sunday, October 25th. Thank you guys for tuning in. I see the phone lines lighting up with some listeners. Thank you guys for hanging out with us this Sunday night. We have a great show planned. Tonight we have the founder, president, and CEO of the Sister of Court, Ms. Sonya Jackson-Miles, on with us tonight. But before we get with Sonya, I'm going to turn it over to Denise, and she's going to introduce our Beauty News segment.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you guys again for joining us tonight. Just very quickly, if you all would like to join the conversation, besides calling in at 914-803-4399, you can also join me over on Twitter for a tweet chat. We are beauty_talk. Again, that's beauty_talk, and we will be using the hashtag #BeautyTalk, as well as the hashtag, the definition of beauty. Again, that's hashtag beauty talk and hashtag definition of beauty. So joining us tonight, we have a special guest on the beauty news segment tonight, Mr. George Copeland. We're going to bring him on the line. He is the owner of, I believe I'm pronouncing it correctly, Hygieniskin.
Hygieniskin, that's correct.
All right. Welcome to the show, George.
Oh, thank you.
So tell us exactly what Hygieniskin is.
Well, Hygieniskin is a hygienic hand palette. It's for mainly for makeup artists, although hairstylists and some lash artists and even some people on dialysis are using it. But it goes on the back of a makeup artist's hand, and we want to stop using the back of our hands for makeup application, especially with the COVID-19 going on.
Yeah.
It still seems to have ramped up with it, but it just protects the makeup artist from the transmission of bacteria and viruses. We don't want to put, you know, oils and hair and transfer these things to our clients' faces. So this little hand palette is transparent, waterproof, disposable, sterile. It sticks really good to the back of the hand. It's medical grade, and makeup artists seem to really love it.
Nice. So how did all of this come about?
Well, my late wife was a esthetician, and she worked in the beauty industry for years. She did the Golden Globes, Academy Awards. She was a Shamar Moore's personal makeup artist on Soul Train for 7 years. And she came up with this idea and put it all together, and we got it packaged. And she never really got to see it come to fruition because she passed away from breast cancer in 2016. And she asked me to keep it going, to make it happen, because she just knew she wanted to clean up the makeup world, and she knew that this was going to work. And I gave my word that I would do that, and I've been pushing it ever since. And it really took off in 2016 and 17. I went to the esthetician show, and it did great in Las Vegas, and got into some major stores, Friends, Namies, and Nigel's in Hollywood, and some place in London, and really started doing well.
Oh, nice. Nice. Now, you mentioned, I believe you mentioned that some people on dialysis, they're using this.
Yeah, there was a couple people who called me because I think that they have some tubes that go up their arms, and this, it really sticks very well because it's a medical grade, and they've been using it for dialysis. I'm not 100% sure how they use it, but they've been ordering it.
Gotcha. Nice. And so I think I read somewhere where you say it's reusable. How is it reusable?
Well, we use a hand sanitizer on it. So in between, let's say we put some lipstick on it, and between clients, you can just spray some hand sanitizer and wipe it right off. I've tested it and I've worn it for, 24 hours. I've taken showers with it and woken up, and this thing is still sticking in my hand. So makeup artists, in between clients, they can just use a hand sanitizer and clean it off and keep going.
Okay, and so the sanitizer is not, like, breaking it up or anything?
No, not at all.
Nice.
What feedback have you been getting from the makeup artists?
I have not met one makeup artist who didn't like it. Every makeup artist seems to like this thing. The studios have been calling, ordering dozens of boxes at a time, because now with this COVID-19, they're not playing. And the difference, like MAC, they won't let you use the back of your hand. It's a policy for some of these companies.
Right.
So makeup artists are using plastic palettes and metal palettes, but this one, on the back of her hand, it transfers body heat. So it makes the makeup more, go on better, more.
It warms it up a bit.
It does. So it goes on better. And it's, you can just take it off and use another one whenever you get ready. So they really like it.
Right.
I love it. And it's been, we've just been pushing it. And Ellen's been helping me, and she's a marketing genius. So it's ramping up.
Good to hear. And so where can people buy it? I think you mentioned Friends and Nigel's.
Yeah, Namies in Hollywood. You can get it at hygieniskin.com. You can also get it on Etsy. You just put in Hygieniskin. That's Hygieniskin. And you can order from there, and I ship it right out to you.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, real quickly, how much is it retailing for?
It's retailing for $20 for a box of 50 skins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really inexpensive, and it's almost essential now with what's going on in the world. And we're just hoping, we're really thankful for you guys for having us today, and looking forward to just doing bigger and better things, and hopefully get this thing going, and I can keep my word to my wife and do the best I can to get it out there. That's all I'm trying to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. We all will work hard to see what we can do to help you out.
Well, I really appreciate it. We really do. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's our pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Thank you for that beauty segment piece there. Again, it's hygieniskin.com, and also you can look it up on Etsy. They have a store on Etsy as well. Retailing for $20. And if you're in the LA area, it's at Namies, Friends, and Nigel's. And of course, you can go online and order from those stores as well. All right. Again, I mentioned a few minutes ago that our guest tonight, she's author and founder, president, and CEO of the Sister of Four Foundation. I want to kind of like tell you a whole bunch of stuff about her, but you know what? I'm just going to bring her on, and I'm going to let her introduce herself. She's been on the show before some years ago, but she's back. We're going to let her reintroduce herself, rather, and I'm going to bring her on right now, Ms. Sonya Jackson Miles. Welcome to the show.
Well,
Sonya.
Hello.
Hey there.
Can you
tell how excited she is?
Right.
Man, I've been waiting. I have been waiting for this moment. I am so excited to be here with my sisters tonight. It is just, it's a beautiful thing when people connect. You know, I have a number of people who are DMing me and following up with me and want to talk to you all and meet you all. And George is working with a dear sister of mine to bring his wife's dream to life. And so Ellen sent me a message, hey, I saw your post. And I really would love for George to be able to share what he's doing. So thank you all for having him on. That's really, really a beautiful thing to see him. Yeah, and this being, you know, breast cancer awareness or, you know, breast cancer awareness month, you know,
yes.
It's really important for us to recognize that, you know, a lot of people have really beautiful, amazing dreams, and this terrible disease, you know, takes them away from us before they're able to see some of those dreams come to life. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. So you're here.
I'm here.
It's been a long time since you've been on here with us, so reintroduce yourself and tell people a little bit about who you are. You have accomplished a lot. You've done a lot. So just tell us all about.
Wow. So good evening, everyone. And thank you for joining us this evening. And thank you for all the excitement. It is such a beautiful thing when I have the opportunity to spend time with sisters and create space where we just have a heart exchange. And that's what this is going to be tonight. And so I am the founder of the Sister Accord LLC and the Sister Accord Foundation, where I'm on a mission to have 1 billion girls and women learn how to love themselves and each other. I was in corporate America for over 20 years. And I saw some of the most terrible behavior among women. And I worked for some amazing companies. And I saw some terrible behavior. And it caused me to say, mean girls grow up to be mean women if there is no intervention. The Sister Accord is the intervention. We need a disruption to all of this negative behavior, all of this hate, all of this, I have to make you look bad in order to look good. I'm going to throw you under the bus. I'm going to harm you with my words. And so I wanted to use my voice and decided to walk away from my amazing corporate career, all the trappings of success, money, all of that stuff, title, and left 7 years ago. So that was 7 years ago that I left P&G to start the Sister Accord, betting on myself. So I took some funds from my stock options, and I said, I'm going to use this money and bet on me, and the rest is history. I mean, I am just amazed with everything that has happened and how God has blessed this work in 7 years. We're now on the campus of The Ohio State University with the Sister Accord chapter. We're getting ready to launch chapters in Africa. And my Sisterhood and Brotherhood in the Workplace platform now is launched as well. So I spent most of my time is spent helping companies create cultures that help people win, where everyone has an opportunity to win and can and be successful in their environment, and eradicating these toxic work environments is killing folks.
Right.
So
I have two sons, one husband, and a dog, and they're all men, and so pray for me. That's all I got to say about that.
You know, Sonya, I remember your struggle with the whole idea of it wasn't a struggle with starting the sister court. It was the struggle of leaving that corporate environment. And I think that's something that, if you're like me and Janice, we were both in the corporate environment before we started in the beauty industry. And so, it can be a struggle because, like you said it so perfectly, you said the trappings of success.
Yes.
And it's those things like that, that consistent paycheck, things like benefits. They want to keep you in a place where most people are successful and they love what they were doing. And for some people, they're in a place where they don't like what they're doing, but yet the money and the benefits keep them there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, but it almost keeps you from your life's purpose.
Absolutely.
And it's like we get stuck in that, we're making money and, we feel like the checks are going to come every two weeks or once a month, however you got paid, But thinking about all of that, none of that is really guaranteed. None of that's guaranteed. This corporate environment can decide, we no longer want you here.
That's right.
So it's like, when you're trying to weigh the pros and cons of whether or not you should leave something or, just always follow your heart,
That's
and it's
right.
just a beautiful thing to just see you where you are now. Because when you started this, I was just like, oh, okay, the sister court, and I knew what you wanted to do with it. But, I mean, now you're saying you're starting a chapter in Africa? Wait a minute. We haven't talked about this yet.
I know, but that's just how it's grown. I wanted the Sister Accord to be a lifestyle brand, right? So what I did was when I left P&G, I created something that I call a life integration plan. And what I wanted to do was I studied marketing at FAMU, so I'm a marketing, person.
Mm-hmm.
It's in my DNA. And I said, I need to sit here and really think about how can people use the Sister Accord every day, the principles of what we stand for every single day. And so that's where the book came, and I was nominated for the NAACP Image Award, and that just blew my mind, right? Right out of the gate, God just added all kinds of amazing things unto this movement and this work. And so after that happened, and I was getting these calls from people all around the world telling me how the Sister Accord that transformed their lives. I'm like, really? Really? And so started a jewelry line and, T-shirts, branded items. We were having our tea parties across the country. Sister Accord Day started strong. Mario and MC Light was our first year anniversary celebration of Sister Accord Day. We came out strong, over 1,000 people in the middle of Cincinnati, in the heart of Cincinnati. So all these things were happening on this journey, and I began to really, truly understand that this was what I was called to do. And I tried to rationalize in my mind, why was I running from it? Because I literally ran from it for years. I literally, after it was presented on Capitol Hill, I didn't do anything with it for years. And then now I have a fragrance line, that we're getting ready to launch as well. And so it's just really cool how, and we have a tea, a special blended tea. So people can literally understand from the time that they wake up in the morning, that whole cloak, putting on the cloak of peace, putting on the cloak of love, putting on the cloak of joy. That's what I desired in that life integration plan, and it's now actually come to life.
Okay, wait a minute, Sonya. Now, we really haven't caught up in a while.
I know. Hold on to your seats, ladies.
Wait, a tea?
We have a tea, sister. It is so good. Trina T.
Okay, now wait.
Out of New York.
You have to tell everybody how they can get this teeth.
You got to go to Srina, S-R, I-N-A, and Srina.com created an organic tea that will blow your mind. I mean, literally, people are telling me how they're putting my fragrance on when they go to sleep at night. They're having tea in the morning and at night, and they have this sense of peace and calmness that is, like, mind-blowing. They're trying to figure out, like, what is in this stuff that is making me, you know, have that calmness in the midst of all this anxiety and everything that people have. Everything that I prayed for that my products would do to inspire people, it's actually happening right before my eyes. So, yeah, SrinaT.com. It's a black-owned, woman-owned business out of New York, Monarchy, Porter mm-hmm. Young, wanted to partner. You know I believe in collaboration. I talk about collaboration.
Right.
And so all of my, all of these extensions, as I call them, of the essence of what the Sister Court is, I partner with people, and then that's how we bring it to life. And so Therese Western created my fragrance. Oh, my gosh, that fragrance smells like heaven. I always tell people it smells like heaven. And we gave samples out for Sister Accord Day this year, and literally people are using it to just get them in a place of peace and calmness as they're going to bed as well. But it's a really beautiful fragrance, luxury. It's a luxury custom blend fragrance. And so, yes, we have masks, we have everything, Sister Accord. and again, it's all designed to be that life integration that I talked about at the beginning, where people can use the message and use the principles of the Sister Accord to transform their lives and their relationships.
Wow.
Nice. And for those who are wondering, the Sister Accord tea is a hibiscus vanilla herbal blend. Just putting it out there.
It's really so tasty. Oh my gosh, my father loves it. You know, I see him in the morning, and he's blending, and he's in there putting his little stuff together with the tea, and I'm like, oh, look at my dad. Yeah, it's really quite nice that all of this has happened in 7 years, and I wrote a song, too, My Sister, My Friend, and so you will hear it.
Yes.
You'll hear it in some of my videos. We haven't released it the way that we're going to release it, but you will hear it in some of our videos as well. So a lot has happened in the 7 years that since I launched the Sister Accord in 2013.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah.
Now, I want to get back to the Sister Accord a little bit, but let's switch gears for just a few minutes. You know, my sister and I just completed like an 8-part series, and we talked a little bit about race and racism and diversity in the beauty and entertainment industries. And then let's talk about your experience. You're a black woman here in America with two young black men as sons, a black husband. How are you feeling about all of the racial tensions and unrest that's going on in not only this country but in the world today?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you only said this country, I was going to say, sister, this is all around the world. And I used to go, you know, my job took me to every continent. I was so blessed in my corporate role to be able to see the world. And it pained me because I saw a lot of what we're talking about here. I saw it everywhere. I mean, I was in Brazil, I was in wherever I went, you know, I saw some of this. And so it really pained me. And that's, I think, another reason why I spend so much time with my corporate leaders on getting the right culture, is to recognize how bias operates, recognize how bias seeps into how we operate and how we see each other. And so I am so committed to doing everything that I can to change the outcomes for the children and our children's children and the folks who will come after us, so that we leave these corporations in a much better place, because it's painful to see people being mistreated and harmed simply because of the color of their skin. And so, you know, the thing that I've been working on with my sons in particular, who are 23 and 24, now, I'm 25, so I don't want people out there trying to do the math and all this stuff, you know. But they're at that age, you know. A lot of times, you know, the Sister Accord is all about girls and women, but there's a spillover effect, and I spend a lot of time with boys and men as well, because depression and suicide, you know, that 18 mm-hmm. to 25 period for men can be rough, right? And we know, we see the statistics for it. So I have been working with my sons during COVID on mental health and making sure mm-hmm. that we're talking about what we're seeing and making sure they understand, you know, what's going on, and they have a safe space to ask questions, because it's painful. You know, I said to someone that last year, June 10th, I lost the love of my life. My mommy passed away, and I had never seen anyone transition before. And then when George Floyd, when that video, and I try to be mindful of what I watch, but when I saw that man on the ground and when he called for his mother, I lost it, right? So that was the second time I saw someone die, you know. And so that was really that was a tough one for me, because, you know, I had just lost my mom. And so I am so committed, and I am working with these leaders, and I'm working with organizations to say we have to be cognizant of how we're treating each other. And I call it putting the human in humanity. So my unconscious bias training is called Respect for All, putting the human in humanity. And what I say is what's going to be required if we're really truly going to change the outcomes of what's happening, we have to do the heart work. So you'll see me do the hashtag heart work. And I talk about heart work is the hard work, but if we're really truly going to make any changes, we've got to do the heart work. What I have found is people will throw money at this is not a money thing. This is a heart thing. So if we're going to mm-hmm. really get this thing right, we got to do the work, and we have to peel back all those layers of stuff that have led to the systemic issues that we are facing today. Otherwise, our children's children's children are going to be talking about the same thing, and that's unacceptable.
Yeah, absolutely.
True.
Absolutely. How do you think we start to deal with this? Because we've been talking again, like I said, about in beauty and entertainment, but how do we start dealing with this in the corporate arena?
We have to have the conversations, and we have to create safe spaces. So what I talk about in, as part of my training is we have to give safe spaces to people to really, truly talk about what's going on. In so many instances, and, you know, I work for three amazing companies, Ford Motor Company, the Gillette Company, and Procter & Gamble. And in so many instances, we never got to those really, truly deep, open conversations about race, because people are afraid, and no one wants to be called out as a racist. So they're like, I ain't saying nothing. I'm going to ignore
right.
it. I'm going to pretend like I don't see it. And so if we don't create safe spaces, people are not going to open up. And listen, and I've said this to so many of my mentees and my clients, you can't shame people into doing better. If you think shaming them and calling them out is going to give you an opportunity to sit down and create strategies and solutions for change, you can hang it up. So, you know, mm-hmm. language is a big part of what I talk about. And, yes, people get upset and they're angry and, you know, they feel like they're talking about it over and over and over again. But if you don't have the language and you don't have the emotional intelligence to really drive the right conversation, you can hang it up. There is no way that change will come. just not going to happen.
Mm.
Right. Right.
Yeah. How do you feel? Well, two questions. I want you to talk a little bit about diversity in the corporate arena, and then also mm-hmm. tell me what you think or how are they doing in corporate America in regards to diversity? Do you think that there's been some positive change made, or do you think they have a long way to go? What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, I do think, you know, some of the companies that I have, and I've been so blessed to have an opportunity to visit companies and bring the Power of Sisterhood and Leadership program to a lot of companies, and great leaders have great relationships. So, yes, I do think that you have some leaders who are serious about wanting to do something. I think that what happens is they don't know what to do. And so that's where, you know, folks like me who do this kind of work can come in and really give them a blueprint and a map that they can decide what works for their culture and be really clear about the actions that they're going to take, measurable actions. And so, unfortunately, I think what happens in a lot of instances is a leader will say, well, let's just give $1 million to the NAACP. Okay,
mm-hmm.
All right, so then we check the box. All right, so now let's move on. And we have to say, no, that's not what we need to do right here. This is what we need to do. And we need to think structurally about our organization and how do we give people an opportunity to succeed and get into these different roles. What I spent a lot of time working on when I was in corporate America was bringing people along. Right. So it was important for me to establish a pipeline. I did all the recruiting. I went to the HBCUs. I opened up a whole new world from a recruiting perspective. And then I said, well, once you get them in here, you've got to provide programs and structures and mentoring and sponsorship so that people then have the opportunity to excel. And I was very fortunate in that regard that I had people who saw my talent and gave me the opportunity to show what I could do. And so it was important for me to do that. Now I'm doing it from the outside, but I think we have a long way to go. I think that people have to do this hard work and they have to be committed to it, and it can't be just the flavor of the month, because this stuff is going to take a long time to really truly evolve. Where people are having these opportunities at all the different levels and the C-suite and at the board level. So now what you're seeing is a number of companies now diversifying their boards too.
Right.
But it's just all, yeah. It's all the beginning. To me, you know, it's that we're at the beginning stages of it, and I just hope that we don't lose traction. Because we really need to have a sense of urgency in putting these structural interventions in place.
Right. Well, you know, 2 years ago, we celebrated 10 years hosting
Yay!
And producing this podcast.
Yeah.
And then
congratulations.
Thank you. So December, it will be 12 years.
Wow.
And we wanted to, back then, we wanted to do something big. We were like, oh, we have to have this big celebration. We're going to do this big event. And then we thought about it, and we were like, no, that's not really what we want to do. So we started mentoring other makeup artists. We wanted to do something to give back.
Mm-hmm.
And even though this show is a way that we give back to the beauty industry, but we wanted to give back, so we started a mentoring program. And then also we decided, you know, we ask our guests every Sunday night, you know, what's their definition of beauty? What does beauty mean to them? And we wanted to have a way, because over the years we've had some very interesting answers that brought about some very interesting conversations. Like, because that question is asked at the end of the show, It's like when we hang up from the show, we're like still talking about some people's answers. So it's brought up a lot of great conversations about beauty and about how women see themselves and how they see others, other women, and how they treat themselves. And so I think you are such a great guest to have on tonight talking about this, because when you think about the principles of the Sister Accord and all that stuff you mentioned earlier tonight, you know, if women just dug a little deeper and went beyond the physical, what she's wearing and what my hair looks like, that kind of thing, I really believe that we could really get past a lot of those, some of those issues that we see amongst women. And also women are showing young girls that this is how we are and that we have to stop.
That's right.
We have to stop the bullying as well. And
that's
so
right.
We kind of wanted to do, like, you know, this Instagram campaign, and it's been in my mind for the for a couple years now, and I started collecting people's definition and getting their pictures, and I've been talking about it, and my sister said, stop asking people to send in their definitions and pictures if you're not going to put it out there. That's true, but and I was going to put it out there then, but I just kept feeling like, no, now's not the right time. But now I really feel like it's the right time.
Absolutely. Kudos to you.
So if I asked you 3 or 4 years ago, you'll begin to see your answer soon. Don't worry about it. You're going to see your answer soon.
I think that's just such a beautiful thing. It's so beautiful what you all do. I just love me some you. Both of you have been such a blessing to me. And so I love what you do. I love what you represent. And we have to shine a light on people who operate in excellence, because there's so many people out here who operate in mediocrity. They operate in just such low vibration. And so every time I see you all, I'll be glad when COVID is over so I can see you again. But you all just always operate in excellence, and I always like to highlight and shine a light on it so that our young people see we can balance what they see, because they see a lot of ratchetness. Okay, let's just be honest. And so we have to balance that.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So, based on the principles of the Sister Accord, and I know your answer may not have anything to do with that, but share with us your definition of beauty and talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, a big part of the work that I do, because my curriculum is in school systems now, and so the Sister Accord Leadership Development Program is what we teach so that young girls can have a long runway of understanding what it really means to love themselves and love others and be leaders who are compassionate and who serve with love. See, when I started, even though I'm 25, when I started my career, it was this thing where you're supposed to be bad. You know, I'm a bad, you know, this and that and, you know, And you know, this whole notion that you have to be mean to people in order for them to work. And it's like, really? That's a very short term. You might get some short term, you know, response to that, but that is not a long term strategy for leadership. And so self-love, I found, the women, you know, when I was bullied in the workplace, when I was mistreated in the workplace, it was because the women themselves were broken, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
What happens oftentimes is we take this stuff on and we're like, oh, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And I remember so just like it was yesterday, this one situation that I had. And for a millisecond, sisters, I almost bought into what she was saying about me. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And that's how bullying operates, right? So you have to have, we have to give our girls tools and strategies for overcoming this stuff. Because it's just terrible what it's doing. And it drives suicide rates. You know, leading cause of teen death around the world, suicide. So I wanted to make sure that there was some structure. I'm a process girl. I'm a structure girl. So I'm one of those weird people who I love vision and all of that, but then I like to come down and get down into the details. And so I wanted to create a curriculum that integrated social-emotional learning and how to overcome trauma and how to overcome the negative things that may have happened in our lives so that we could get to a place of truly 150% loving ourselves. I have found that when you really get to the place of self-love, and people like to throw that word around, but it's hard to get there. It's really hard to get there. Mm-hmm. There's always something about ourselves that we don't like. And so when I started liking the cellulite on my thighs and my butt, and I started loving these lips that I hated for years, now people are buying them. Once I really truly just embraced everything that is me, that's when I really found I was living. That's when I really went to that next level of excellence. And so self-love is the cornerstone of the Sister Accord. Because if I can get girls and women to understand that they are God certified, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, nobody like you, and you have all this awesomeness and this amazing purpose, and I can get you to stir it up, listen, you can't turn it off. Literally, if I share all these testimonials and all these stories that I have for all these girls and women around the world who have adopted the Sister Accord way of thinking in life, it is mind-blowing. But you can't turn it off once you really get there. But you got to do the work. So that whole self-love is really what I found allows people to just radiate. They glow. So people would say to me, Tanya, you're glowing. You look so different from when you were in corporate America. What's going on? And it's that love. It's that self, that deep, deep love for self that I found then allowed me to love people in a way that then it just radiates. You know, it's like this aura. It's this thing that's just like that vibration. Is just how I live my life now. And again, it all started with me going on this journey of self-love so that I could effectively share that with other people. And that's my definition of how to really, truly embrace beauty and how to be beautiful is when you are in that state, perpetual, consistent state of love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, how hard has it was it, or maybe it hasn't been, but has it been hard trying to get young girls to get it, to get what you're doing? I know you do a tea party, but has it been easy or hard to get young girls to even understand or grasp the concept of it all?
Oh, it's tough because, you know, the world in so many instances tells them that they're not enough, right? The media says you got to compete, you know, somebody's cuter. Who wore it best? They don't put two men next to each other. They always put two women. So we're always constantly comparing, and comparison is the enemy of joy. Comparison will make you want to go lay down under the bed, roll under the bed, and stay there, okay? And there's always somebody cuter, thinner, all that stuff that doesn't really matter at the end of the day, but there's always somebody, right? So if that's your standard of happiness, if that's your standard of beauty, you have to change, you have to shift. But it's so hard to do because there's so much peer pressure. So what I ask the young women that I mentor and that I spend with at Disney, because, you know, Disney is one of my partners when I left P&G, Disney Dreamers Academy, with Steve Harvey and Essence Magazine, you know, what I talk to them about is you've got to surround yourself with love. Mickey Taylor calls it your celebration circle. But people who want to see you win, people who will do whatever they can. Listen, all y'all have, the two of you, all you have to do is send me some smoke signals. If I have an inkling that you need something, okay, I am running to figure out what I can do to serve you. That's what we have to do, and that's what we have to find. I come in contact with a lot of people, adult women and young girls, who don't have a celebration circle, who don't have people who want to see them win, that they're spending their time with. So once I get them to understand the importance of having people around them who will inspire them, they start to understand that everyone cannot go with them to their next level of excellence. Once I get them on that path, it's amazing. I mean, we have girls in our, so Cincinnati Public Schools was the first district. Now, this is a huge district. And get this, out of all the programs that they could have chosen, they chose mine as the curriculum for our Girls to Women program. And when you see some of our girls now and they are being interviewed and doing these things, and we're like, yes, because we have taught them as part of the leadership development curriculum that I created, we taught them how to embrace themselves, and that leads to the confidence and courage to use their voice. I didn't find my voice probably until I was at FAMU. We want these girls to find their voices in elementary school. And so once I can get them to truly understand their value and their worth, man, you can't turn it off. You can't turn it off. And that's the beautiful thing about it.
Wow. I love it. What have some of the girls that have participated in your tea party, what are some of the things that they are saying about the actual program itself, the tea party, the experiences? Do some of them reach out to you like years later or months later just to kind of update you on what's going on in their lives and how things have changed for the better?
Absolutely. I spent a lot of time with graduates of our Tea Party program, and these young women have gone on since we started in 2013. They have finished college. They are working on masters. Some of them have already gotten their master's degree. And they said, came to your tea party. I never thought any of this stuff was possible. We have people who have credited the Sister Corps with saving their lives, overcoming anxiety disorders, who never thought that they were going to be able to even go to college. And I remember one parent saying, I'm not sure what you did. I mean, we tried psychiatry, we tried psychology, we tried medicine, we tried everything for our daughter, and nothing worked. She comes to your tea party from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on a Saturday and came back a changed person. What did you do? And I said, wow. So that's when I really started to understand what I had developed was really very powerful. And people said, how did you know how to develop it in that way? And I said, I just said, here I am, Lord, use me. And he gave me everything. I can't take credit for it. Yeah, I just said, here I am. After I stopped running, because I was running, once I sat still and recognized that this was truly what I was created to do as I was formed in my mother's womb, then I was able to sit still and create these different programs so that I could serve all of these people who were waiting for me. Yeah,
wow.
It's pretty amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, so I keep in touch with, as a matter of fact, the president of the Sister Accord program at The Ohio State University was she came to my tea party in 2014. And then she and she went to Cincinnati Public Schools. And if I showed you Jada, if I showed you her today, and I showed you her from in 2014, and Jada will tell you, and she said this at a recent tea party, she said, I was on the wrong road. She said, I was getting in trouble. I was just not doing what I should be doing. And now she's at The Ohio State University and is the president of the Sister Accord organization there.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. I just want to read you. We just got a comment that came in, and I wanted to read you this. She says, tell her, her name is Jennifer, and she says, tell her she has a Cincinnati native who's listening tonight, and she's very proud to be a Cincinnati native, and she commends what you're doing. She only wishes this was around when she attended Finneytown High School.
Thank you. And so many people say that, gosh, why wasn't this around when I was coming up? And I said, I know. And that's why I work both ends, and I have all these different programs for women, and because we got to get this thing right, okay? It's time for us to step up and lead. And so I created the Power Hour, feeding your mind, body, and spirit, your mind, body, and soul. And we work on mental health, physical health, and emotional health, which is what I bring to the table. And then I have two other sisters. And now we have a six-week program that we just launched this past week, Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 10 a.m. to address exactly what we're talking about here. Because if we don't do the work, and most people run from this, okay? I get it. Nobody wants to see me coming. But if people are serious about really, truly doing the work, I have a roadmap for them to move to that next level of excellence. And it's tried, it's true. We have results, we have receipts, as my mentees say, we have the receipts. And so we are really excited about how we are continuing to help girls and women step into those leadership roles and really use their voice and recognize their value.
Nice. Now, one of the goals, one of your goals is to have 1 billion girls and women from every part of the globe to agree to live the principles of the Sister Accord. Tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing in Africa.
You broke up. Say the last part of your question.
Tell us a little bit about what the Sister Accord is going to be doing in Africa.
Yes. We're so excited that.
And I want to,
you
go.
Know, to get. You want to go?
Yes.
It's mind blowing. It's so mind blowing. But I knew that I had to tap Africa and Asia. If I was going to get to a billion, right? You have to think about where the people are, right? The United States is such a small, you know, part of, you know, the world. And so when I met a gentleman, we were panelists speaking, and we started talking about the mission of the Sister Accord and leadership development and how, you know, we can help churches and, you know, different organizations. He was like, we need to start this here in Africa. You know, we really need this. And so if we're going to give people tools, and this is why I oftentimes will talk about, are we really serious about wanting to eradicate poverty? Like, are we really, really serious about eradicating poverty? Because if we are, we have to give people skills. We have to give people that and heal communities and families, build strong families. So the second book, I don't think I talked to you all about this, but the second book is 51 Ways to Love Your Children. We have to stop harming our children. We have to make sure that we are raising in a loving way so that we can stop raising these monsters who will beat our girls. right? So it's all connected and related. So are we going to do something about it? Well, here's the disruption. And so we know, especially with COVID, we were telling people to stay safe at home. Well, everybody's not safe at home, okay?
That's right.
Some people are experiencing abuse, and not always just physical, but domestic violence rates are up significantly, double, triple in some instances. And that's around the world. And so if we're really truly going to eradicate bullying and violence against girls and women, if we're really truly going to create strong families, then we have to do this work. And so taking this to Africa and starting these chapters in Africa and being able to bring the curriculum, you know, to women and to the families, I'm blown away that we're in year seven, you know, are getting ready to make preparations for doing that next year. And so we're talking about starting in Malawi and Zimbabwe. And I have been talking to government in Tanzania previously as well, because they had adopted principles of the Sister Accord years ago after I presented on Capitol Hill. So we have a lot of excitement and pull. See, there's a demand for it because people are seeing that it is truly transforming their lives. And so, yeah, that's what we're planning to do, is have these chapters and then, you know, really focus on emotional skill building. We're focusing on, you know, social emotional learning and, you know, how do we overcome trauma? How do we stop cycles of dysfunction? Okay, so just because this has been part of your family for generations, okay, well, what can we do to stop it? What do we need to do? What's the root cause? And so we spend a lot of time on that heart work, and we're going to take that to Africa.
Nice. Oh, my goodness. That's really exciting. I was getting some messages that were saying we need chapters in UNICEF. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Where?
In Atlanta.
Where?
In Atlanta.
So. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, no, I do want to make sure that we think about what that looks like in the United States as well. And, you know, I keep a journal, and so I've written down dreams and all sorts of things. I really have some really cool ways that I think we could come together with the makeup community. You know, I'm very protective of you all because I love you all and what you do. And I just think that people take you for granted and they don't respect your craft. They don't want to pay for it. And that always bothers me. And so, I have a number of ideas. And Shanice wrote on Instagram, let's have a round table. But I have a number of ideas that I think, you know, we should come together, sister court principles, and really have some chapters and do some cool things where all boats rise, where we help each other, particularly in this COVID environment and people aren't, you know, working like they used to. I think there's some cool ways for us to be able to come together. And so I'll be talking to you all, off of the show here, but I think that there are some things that we can do to create chapters and create support systems for each other here in the United States as well.
I love it. I'm so down for that. I wanted to ask you, you're talking about when you read the principles of the Sister Accord on Capitol Hill. I remember that day. We were in a hotel room to do your makeup, and it was all this excitement. You know, it was the Obama's inauguration and all this stuff going on. There were some women in the room, and of course, I don't remember names, but I just remember somebody had an interesting story. Have you talked to any of those women that was in the room that day?
I'm trying to think of who was in the room, because you all have been with me in so many instances. Remember, you were with me when I was nominated for the NAACP
yes.
Image Award, and we
yes.
had some really powerful conversations with Terry Ellis from En Vogue.
Yes. Yeah.
She was with me.
I'm trying to remember
who was with me in D.C. because I see it. I remember, and I'm trying to think about who that was with us, because, yes, you all have been with me as some of the most important
mm-hmm.
aspects of this journey. And, people will keep in touch. I will get a text message, or I'll get a message, and people will say, guess what happened, or they'll talk about the fact that they didn't trust women anymore. They've been hurt
mm-hmm.
so much that they're like, Sister Corp, you better get out of here. I'm not dealing with women. These women are a trip.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll come back and say, you know what? I do need my sisters. Sonia, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
We are connected. We are created to love and be loved. So when we say things like, I don't need no friends and I don't care about this, no, stop using that language. We do need each other. And it does get lonely when you don't have safe spaces to talk to your sisters. And Dr. Chantel Thomas, who does the Power Hour with me, says research shows that women, not men, but women need at least three people that they can confide in.
Mm.
If you really want to be able to keep your mental health intact, you need to be able to
mm-hmm.
talk and share openly and frankly in a very open and trusting way with confidants, right? So that's why it's so important for me to help girls understand how we can really support each other and really have these great relationships with each other, because we do need each other. And so I get some of the most amazing testimonials from people about how this work and this mission and this movement is transforming their lives, changing lives. And in a lot of instances, people will say save their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think about, you said something, mean girls grow up to be mean women if there is no intervention. And the sister mm-hmm. court is the intervention. And mm-hmm. I really like that, and I really love the idea of trying to get to the young girl, because
mm-hmm.
once they become adult women, it's so much harder.
That's right.
To change opinions or to change things, or to turn things around. I just really I can appreciate the work that you're doing, especially at the level with the young girls, because my sister and I have over the years have spoken to so many young girls with different organizations that were led by some pretty well-known women.
Mm-hmm.
But but the story seems to be the same, no matter
mm-hmm.
where you go, no matter what the organization's name is called, no matter who's doing the work, the story is the same with
mm-hmm.
the young girls, how they
mm-hmm.
interact with each other, the lack of support
mm-hmm.
that they get from
right.
other women and other young girls,
right.
and family members, and just all the
right.
issues that they deal with. So if you
mm-hmm.
think a grown woman is bullying you, imagine,
right.
When that started for them and even why
that's
they're
right.
doing it.
That's
you know?
Right. That's
yeah.
right.
So
hurt
I
people,
really can
hurt
appreciate
people, hurt
work.
People.
That's right.
I just come
right.
to know that hurt people hurt people. And if you don't find a way to deal with your stuff, own your stuff, you just keep hurting, and you just keep hurting other people. And
mm-hmm,
it is
right.
not a good place to be. It is a very dangerous place to be, and it's a dangerous
way to live your life. There's nothing healthy about it. And we know the statistics, particularly in the Black community, every disease, we're the highest on the list. Well, we're carrying a lot of stuff.
Right.
And so if we're really truly going to shed these things and get our bodies and minds and souls strong, we have to do the work. We have to be committed to doing the work.
Absolutely.
Any final words, Sonia, on what you're doing? On it, what's the message that you going forward want to get out to people?
You know, my message is really all about the self-love piece. I spend, like I said earlier, I spend a lot of time in corporate America now. That's where I spend most of my time with my clients and helping leaders understand how to lead with love. So here I am, created a business based on love, which most people would say, that's crazy. Like, you really going to bet on yourself and you're going to bet on love? Really? So when I would go to CEOs and I would do my pitch, they would say, well, no one has come to me and talked to me about love in the workplace. Who are you? You know, they're just like looking at me sideways. You know how a dog will look at you kind of sideways? And so I've always thought differently. I've always walked differently. I always saw things differently. And so I said, I'm going to do it. So when I created Dream Walking and all my other programs, it was all centered around this whole leading with love and creating environments where people can thrive, because I saw so much behavior that really harmed people, right? And so that is really what my focus is, because if we can really get people to focus on being able to bring their full selves to the table, being able to be excited about getting up in the morning and going to work and doing the work that they are part of in their careers, man, that's the sweet spot. Like, just think about everybody doing what they were created to do, whether it's in the workplace, because I don't like to shame people who are still working in corporate America. A lot of people who are entrepreneurs will say, oh, I can't believe you're doing that. No, don't do that. You know, we need leaders in every realm, in all spaces and places. And so,
that's right.
But if you can get to a place where there's an environment, where there's a healthy environment and everyone has that opportunity, imagine what our world will be like. Imagine a world where everyone is operating in their gifts and they have the opportunity to operate in their gifts and transform their lives and create a legacy of excellence that we can leave for our children's children's children. That's it for me. That's my whole life mission. That's my whole life's mission. And so the fact that I have been blessed to see some of these things unfold, because a lot of people will have a dream, but they don't get to see the dream come to life. And, you know, as I was listening to George talk about that, about his wife, you know, it touched me, because I am seeing the fruits of my labor. I am seeing these things happen, and I feel very blessed for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that you are. I know you have helped so many young girls and so many women, probably some in some ways you would never know.
Thank you.
But it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a, you kind of stirred up something in me. And I'll talk to you about it when we get off the line. But
wow.
This has been great.
Yeah, I always enjoy talking to you.
Awesome.
All.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking, I don't know if you heard me earlier, I was saying that I missed our tweet chat conversations that we used to do.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah. Yes. And Terry Ellis and I, your ears should have been burning because Terry and I were saying, we've got to do that again. So we've got to come back.
Oh.
And people love those. I used to get messages from people saying, oh my gosh, when are you going to do another one? So we'll have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was so much fun. So much fun. I really enjoyed those. It's been wonderful having you on tonight.
Thank you.
I just listened as if I didn't know anything about the Sister Accord. It's so needed. It was needed. It was needed when you dropped in your spirit. It was needed when you finally said, "Here I am, Lord." You know, it's still needed today, and in such a major way. You know, and I'm hoping that during this time when people have had a chance and an opportunity to be still, really hoping that people have learned a lot about themselves. And then not only that, but I hope people see the need to love themselves and to love themselves basically exactly how they are, you know, things that don't really mean much, you know, and then also learning how to, and I feel like when we learn to love ourselves, truly learn to love ourselves, it's a little easier to learn to love others. And so
Absolutely.
I'm hoping that is something, that is something that people have kind of thought about and figured out during this time when people, you know, have had the opportunity to kind of be still.
That's right.
So I think,
me too.
Yeah, so this is great. I'm excited about what you're doing in Africa and all the other ideas that you have. Again, we are total support of what you're doing. So whatever you need from us, we are here.
I know that. You all have been such a blessing to me. So thank you. Thank you so much.
You're
that whole network. And I just wanted you to see just the fruit of your labor and the seeds that you've planted and all of these people around the country, you know, who you've introduced me to. I have a whole network now. And so I just wanted you to see, and I put their names in the comments so that you could see some of them, and I tagged some of them as well.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you.
You're
and
welcome.
You know what? I want to say, if they're listening, I want to say thank you to all of those makeup artists that I've reached out to over the years. The makeup artist in Dallas. Sonya needs a makeup artist wherever it was. You know, if I could find somebody, I did. And so thank you to all of those makeup artists.
Yeah.
Some of them were people we didn't even know. Some of them people we just got as referrals and just passed them on, you know?
Well, I sure do appreciate all of them. They have been such a blessing to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, thank you again, Sonya, and thank you to those out there who listened tonight. We greatly appreciate it. And thank you to George who came on and shared with us tonight in the beginning of the show. We greatly appreciate his time. So there's a lot more to come, and we'll keep you guys posted as to what we're doing and any information that we have on the Sister Accord, we will share. Any information that we have about George's product, we will share that as well. I just want to say thank you to all of those who tune in every Sunday night faithfully. Some people we know, some people I don't know. I just recognize the number every single Sunday, and I always like to shout out. There's a Texas listener. I don't know who it is. They never come on the line to speak, and it's okay. But I see you every Sunday night, and I greatly appreciate you. Thank you to Sharon Tina and Jennifer, and who else do I see out here?
I know Shanice is on.
Valerie,
she's in.
Some people are listening by. And some people are listening online. Okay, good. Hey, Shanice. so thank you, guys. I appreciate you listening in every Sunday night and just the support over the past 12 years. We greatly appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding.
So with that being said, you guys, I know some people have to work tomorrow, but I'm sitting right in front of this laptop. But normally we're once we, you know, finish, we're like going to bed, getting ready for early call time. But
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I'm thankful for the time off as
mm-hmm.
well. So
mm-hmm.
there's always
mm-hmm.
work to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Doesn't matter. So it's always work to do. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again,
thank you,
Tanya.
Thank
and
you.
And we just want to just say good night to everybody and have a wonderful. Oh, Sonia, really quickly, throw out
mm-hmm.
your website and where people can find more information about the sister
yeah.
court.
Yeah. So the website is keep the in there. The Sister, S-I-S-T-E-R, Accord, A-C-C-O-R-D is in dog, .com. And you can shop, and we have masks, and we have T-shirts, and we have journals, and all kinds of things. And then my handles on Instagram and Twitter is also there, The Sister Accord. We have the Sister Accord fan page on Facebook as well. And then I'm on LinkedIn as Sonia, S-O-N-I-A, Jackson Miles, M-Y-L-E-S. So please reach out and let me know what you thought about tonight's conversation.
Absolutely. And then my sister can quickly tell where people can find us.
Yes, you can find us on Facebook. We are Beauty Talk Online Radio. Again, you can find us on Twitter, we're beauty_talk, and then on Instagram, we're beauty_talk_media. And you can follow Janice and I both on all social medias using our names. I'm Denise Tunnell, that's D-E-N-I-S-E-T-U-N-N-E-L-L, and Janice is J-A-N-I-C-E-T-U-N-N-E-L-L.
All right. Thank you both. And again, thank you to our listeners. Everyone, have a wonderful evening and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.